This is Audible.
There exists a place between the material and immaterial, which most mortals refer to as reality and the warp, amongst which there spans a network of gates and tunnels that allow one to traverse vast distances in a fraction of the time it takes for even the light of a star. To the Eldari, who inherited this remarkable piece of cosmic engineering, it is known as the Webway. Many are its secrets, lost to time, unnumbered are the pathways beset by neglect and demonic intrusion in the age since the cataclysm of the fall that all but destroyed the Eldari race. Yet there are still those that know the darkest places beyond the reach of the drifting craft worlds, routes and gates away from the covetous gaze of the dark city of Komorra. They name themselves the Harlequins, warrior troubadours dedicated to the trickster of Eldari legend, the fickle god Kegorak. They call no people their own, save for the troops that make up their scattered masks, and their home is simply the starships that carry them, and the places of chance where they might rest a while. They are the dancers on the precipice, the players of fate, the heirs of the Laughing God. Heirs of the Laughing God. A Deadly Wit by Gav Thorne. Performed by Gareth Armstrong, Tim Bruce, Steve Conlin, Emma Gregory, and Matthew Hunt. Across a broken expanse of the Webway, known to the Harlequins as the Rift of Endeavor, singing resounded through the fabric of the interdimensional network. A starship traversed the ancient tunnelway. It was called by its inhabitants the Last Laugh, formerly a raiding frigate of a craftworld corsair fleet its current occupants had found drifting in the void. Aboard the Last Laugh, the Harlequins of the Fading Dawn gathered at the request of their leader. They waited in the Chamber of Gates, a crystal-domed hall beneath the whirling red and grey of the Rift of Endeavor. Half a dozen plinths and pillars dominated the hall, ancient portalways attuned to the power of the Webway. Two figures entered. Natural grace and hidden technology allowed them to move with a lightness of step barely touching the marble-like floor. The first was garishly attired, as most Harlequins are, his particular motley an arrangement of white bodysuit patterned with red diamonds, a jacket of black and silver, and an exaggerated grinning mask of sculpted scarlet and gold. Streamers of bright blue and yellow playfully followed his step, tied to his wrist and elbow. A long mane of the same colors cascaded from the crest of his skin-tight scalp hood.
It really is just a matter of perspective, my morose jester of death. To truly soar, the red swan must risk dashing against the rocks.
The second figure was a stark contrast to the first. A tight suit of black so deep it sucked in the ambient light of the chamber, rendering her a shadow. An outfit of artificial bone gave her the appearance of an animated skeleton, complete with an elongated skull visage. While her companion had a slender sword and elegant pistol at his hips, she carried a long-barreled shuriken cannon, its weight offset by suspensers so that it weighed no more than a feather.
You really should not refer to yourself in the third person, Dorothiel. It betrays your towering arrogance.
The Red Swan is great Harlequin of the Mask of the Fading Dawn, ascendant among his peers, the embodiment of the Laughing God. It is right that he places himself above the mortal concerns and title of dull Dorothiel. How else should Kegorak's chosen son refer to himself?
Usually I or me suffices, you grotesque incarnation of self-aggrandizement. You are Dorothiel, whether you choose it or not. This affectation for demigodhood is not only distracting, it will be the death of you, of all of us.
Something has to be. Why not a little self-belief?
One of the Harlequins broke from the several dozen waiting, his bodysuit concealed beneath a long coat striped black and white. A cowl and hood of yellow and black surrounded a helm fronted with a mirror-finished mask but sparkled with shifting images, passing glimpses of faces in shock, horror, and despair. He wore an ornate backpack called the Credaean, a pair of fluted chimneys extending above each shoulder, and from these apertures drifted a multicolored vapor. This was Shadow Seer of the Mask, Oracle of the Laughing God.
You will see, Adroniel. What do you think, Echo? Is the Red Swan to be undone by his own ambition?
Red Swan dares what he will. Yet all of us stay only one step before the fate that stalks us.
Typically cryptic. Yes or no, Echo? Is Durafield's insistence on calling himself the Red Swan the height of annoyance or not?
The Shadow Seer's mask flitted through several expressions of distaste and settled on one of sneering disgust.
I think that is clear.
I am surrounded by tedium-given form. Heed my fate, Rufus. Blessed am I that not all are so doer as my two companions here. Which of you stands ready for an adventure? Who would follow the Red Swan into death-defying battle?
The Great Harlequin moved to the central webgate plinth and made several complex motions in the space above it, wrist turning and twisting, fingers moving as though playing a keyboard or plucking strings. At his command, the portal stirred into life. A golden arch shimmered into being above the wraithstone step. Pale blue fire crawled across the gap between, leaving impressions of a night sky above shadowed squat buildings.
Well said, brothers and sisters on the winding road. We hunt a brutal foe, a foul orc that has risen to the pinnacle of its crude kind.
Duruthiel waved towards the broader space of the chamber, where sleek war machines hovered inside the tethers of grab cradles. Star Weaver transports, Void Weaver attack craft, and smaller Skyweaver jet bikes.
Unto our noble steeds, children of the fading dawn, unto glory!
The Red Swan and his two associates followed the mask as they mounted their craft. They climbed aboard a midnight blue Starweaver with flashes of multicolored sparks splashed along the streamlined nose. The gunners primed their weapons as their crafts lifted from docking cradles. Drawing his power sword, the Great Harlequin motioned to the active portal and laid a hand on the shoulder of his pilot.
Lead the charge, brave Endorius, and guide us to magnificent victory!
Or to a pointless death. I doubt the Laughing God cares which.
The sky was near cloudless. A trio of crescent moons hung not far above the horizon, their ghostly pale sheen cast upon a riotous assembly of crude buildings, walls, and square towers, seemingly thrown haphazardly at the sides of a steep gorge. Dozens of large bonfires dotted the ramshackle town in broad meeting places, linked by a maze of streets, while narrower alleys were intermittently lit by the harsh blue glare of gas lanterns. Crowds of hunched, broad-shouldered creatures seethed in the light and shadows, the pounding of their drums rising up from their revels. Celebratory gunfire crackled. Raucous laughter and bellowed conversation were swallowed by the cold air. A golden star erupted in the dark skies, opening to become a swirling passage from the webway. The silhouette of jet bikes, transports, and attack craft quickly resolved into solidity. Bursting into the firmament with its engines at full, the Star Weaver of Durafield and his close companions led the attack. Endoriath activated the hollow fields as they left the sanctuary of the webway. In moments, the outline of a craft shimmered into a smear of black, red, and orange against the stars. Behind them, other distorted shapes flew from the breach between worlds, each a haze of fluctuating colors and shadows. The Harlequins clung to the swooping craft, their coats and crests, cloaks, tassels and loincloths fluttering. Some hung with one hand, just the tip of a toe upon the flat of the carriage board, daring each other to lean out further and further. Others sat with legs wrapped about the rails, weapons raised in their hands, rune strings and bright ribbons flapping like the pennants on a lance. With his back to the rail, Doruffiel turned to Averan Swiftscorn, last of his closest associates, the clique known among the Mask as the Red Swan's Tragedy.
What better feeling than this, my silent friend? A foe in front, a weapon in our hand, and a song in our hearts. This is life being lived.
The master mime replied with a particular tilt of her head, a slight lopsided shrug, and a complex gesture with two fingers of her right hand. A glove shimmered as its power field burst into life, bathing the fist with gently lapping cerulean flame.
Yes, indeed, his head is full thrice as big as before. Even Averan is tired of your pretensions, Red Swan. Your attempt at a carefree regard fools no one.
I'm hurt, Averan, companion of the longest time. With a flick of the wrist, you disembowel me, as if you wielded that harlequin's caress against a savage greenskin.
On hot winds are carried the pyre fumes.
The Shadow Seer's enigmatic announcement was made plain a moment later, when the bright muzzle flare of cannons lit up both clifftops below them. The first shells exploded far behind the descending flotilla in the empty air around the still gleaming webway entrance. Dark red detonations lit falling debris, hot sparks that plunged towards the orc settlement far below. Averan signed some more, ending with a swift finger drawn across her throat.
No cause for concern at all. We are but zephyrs on the wind to these barbaric brutes. There is not a gunner among them that could spy our true position, nor a wit combined in all their brains to foretell our intent.
Another battery opened fire from a cluster of more heavily walled fortifications at the head of the gorge. Rockets corkscrewed up on tails of green and purple sparks to pass some distance ahead of the Harlequin's diving attack.
See? I do not know why I keep such company, when I could spend time with worry-me-nots instead.
The rockets exploded above the attack craft, blooming into white flares of illumination that did not dissipate, but floated on the wind, casting an actinic glare across the whole gorge town.
Any more masterful insights? Perhaps you would like to belabor the stupidity of our foes some more. Mayhap wax long on their deficiency of preparedness, or their lack of intellectual weight.
It means nothing.
The hollow fields of the Harlequin's craft obscured their exact position, but their blurs, against the quartet of bright illuminators that drifted slowly groundwards, allowed the orc gunners to guess their approximate course and speed. The enemy filled the sky ahead of the descending Harlequins with anti-aircraft fire. An insistent tapping on Doruthiel's shoulder drew his attention to Averan, who pointed to the darkness beyond the lights of the orc sprawl. Pinpricks of fire became flares of blue light as jet engines shrieked into life, propelling orc interceptors into the air. Around them, multi-bladed gyrocopters buzzed into the skies, orcs hanging in gun cradles beneath. Outlandish multi-barreled weapons stabbed beams of energy, and flurries of tracer fire shrieked up towards the Harlequins.
A beast descends. Its bowels are fire. Wrath of the Green shall send all to their doom. It falls upon us, moon-laden and rageful.
All eyes turned upwards. But first, there was nothing to be seen. The Harlequins did their best to plot a swooping descent below the incoming fighters, but the orc flyers adjusted their ascent to move to a directly opposing trajectory.
There! Against the second moon! Something big!
Six plumes of fire thrust the immense sky engine forward. Like an impossible ship, the orc sky cruiser powered down from high altitude, armored turrets upon its flank, turning toward the flotilla of Harlequin craft. A rippling salvo of blossoms erupted along its length from turret and small arms, filling the air with plasma, bullet, and lasbolt. Spotlights, like the glaring eyes of a cruel alien god, burst into ruby light from a hull constructed to resemble such a deity. The crackle of its attention flared across the hollow fields, powered by some unknown, bizarre, orcish technology.
The Red Eye sees all!
Up, brave Endorius! We shall slay this scarlet-eyed beast before it is the doom of us all! up! Up!
At his great harlequin's command, the pilot guided the Star Weaver out of its steep descent. As it banked sharply back towards the incoming sky cruiser, the harlequins upon its fighting platform dangled like multicolored streamers, hung upon carapace and tail like bunting. Climbing abruptly, the Star Weaver jinked and twisted into the teeth of the gunship's firestorm. The ruddy glare of a spotlight fell directly upon it.
We are seen!
Hegarastias! For all our sakes, fire the Mirage Launcher!
At the pilot's urging, the Star Weaver dispatched a pair of spinning grenades, each dispensing a scattering cloud of silver and red fog. The dispersing mist formed the image of a vast phoenix, giant wings beating, feathers streaming gold and black flames as it wheeled towards the incoming Orc interceptors. The sky cruiser's all-seeing eye followed the phantasm's ascent, and the Orc gunners turned their fire upon its incorporeal form.
What was that about crude intellect, my good friend? These beasts would chase rocks if we painted them brightly.
Avaran drew their attention to a pair of interceptors that had broken away from their squadron, heading directly for the conjuration of the Mirage launchers, nose cannons spraying wildly.
The plot twists, but we can yet follow the script, dear friends, if we focus.
The great Harlequin manned the shuriken cannon of the Star Weaver and, with a nod, directed Adroniel to ready her weapon. The mastermind gestured towards the incoming attack craft, pointing two-fingered at each, head cocked to the side as if aiming.
Head on, yes. We will be upon them before they know where we are.
Dorothiel nodded first to the aircraft on their left and then to the one on the right.
I hither, you thither.
Are you telling me or asking me?
You would try the patience of Kegarak, the British Terradon.
Thank you. But which should I shoot?
Shoot right!
The two Harlequins fired their shuriken cannons, filling the air with the starlit silver of monomolecular discs. Dorothiel's salvo slashed across the canopy of his target, turning glass to splinters that shredded the Orc within. Before the volley ripped throat and air mask clad face to pieces. The craft spun away, rolling and yawing violently as the Orc's death spasms jerked the controls. The Death Jester aimed for the intakes of jet beneath the blunt nose of her target, painted in likeness to a shark's maw. A short but accurate burst turned the turbine within to flaming sparks and falling shards. Devoid of power, the aircraft continued on for a moment with all the grace of a brick. The pilot wrestling comically with the controls as Orc and craft plunged into the darkness. A detonating airburst not far behind the Star Weaver cut short any thought of celebration. Endoriath swung the transport sharply to the right, banking between two more blossoms of shellfire. Ahead of them, the Mirage Phoenix rapidly dissipated, becoming a falling curtain of stardust cut through with plasma blast and machine gun fire. The Mirage launchers spent. The Star Weaver had only the hollow fields to misdirect any Orcish ire. Barely armored, its crew and transport exposed to the elements, it could not withstand even the most brushing contact with one of the rapidly multiplying shell bursts that filled the air with thunder and fire.
Swiftly, back to the sky cruiser, before the thuggish crew think to look again for us.
The skin wards all injury. The heart beats within. Severed must be the cord of the great monster's life.
Shuriken cannons are no threat to this foe. Perhaps you think to convince them to surrender with your legendary orator.
If your razor wit does not slice the metal beast in twain, nor your lightning tongue slay the crew, we must endeavor by more personal means. We shall board it!
The first the Orc gunner knew of its attacker was a blur of light through the gun port just beyond the red-hot muzzle of its rapid-firing cannon. Roiling splinters of red and blue detached from the strange miasma and resolved into a leering, unmoving face a moment before a blade lashed out and took off the top of the Orc's head. Dorothiel landed on the swinging gun breech and dived through the port, rolling to his feet amid a pile of spent shell cases and discarded bones from the gunner's last meal. He became a blur of motion again as his Dathidi suit turned him into a fractal hollow stream, distorted outline of motion. The others of the tragedy followed through the opening, momentary silhouettes of white and red and blue against the night sky before they fell upon the orcs. The great Harlequin sped along the line of gunners, manning the battery along one flank of the broad fuselage. His power sword pierced padded jerkins and tough orc flesh with equal force. A smaller greenskin that had been lugging a large shell towards one of the main turrets dropped its cargo and pointed at the intruders whilst raising the alarm in ear-splitting fashion. Other slave Gretchen took up the call, though not before two more of the larger greenskins had been dispatched. Snorting and grunting in their crude tongue, gunners and loaders turned from their large bore cannons to confront the interlopers, sluggish and clumsy. In the relatively close confines of the gun deck, Adroniel used gleaming forearm-mounted blades to slash and dismember.
Ah! Tarry not! The foe rouses slow, but our stage is most constricting and filling fast!
Adroniel dashed past, decapitating another orc as it rushed at the great Harlequin, a serrated cleaver raised to attack.
Tarry not yourself! Live talk! More killing!
Huh? Avarang's Harlequin's caress lit the interior with flashes of pale blue as her hand became a deadly weapon. Its molecule-disrupting field disintegrated flesh and bone with a lightest touch as she danced silently into the swarm of small greenskins. A hatchway opened mid-deck, spilling several more greenskins up from the level below. Echo met them with crystalline neurodisruptor in hand. His mask cycled through a range of surprised and delighted shadow faces as he opened fire. A scintillating cone of power that flared across the synaptic pathways of his targets. Glazed eyes, brains scrambled, they fell to the mesh decking, twisting with seizures, nervous systems overloaded with contrary signals. A clump of feet from the deck above warned of further reinforcements about to make their appearance.
These guns have been silenced, but if we remain, so shall we.
The commander is this way. Follow me.
The great Harlequin led them along the corpse-littered deck towards a set of steps that ascended towards the nose of the sky cruiser. Shadows moved on the upper steps from the deck above, betraying the presence of waiting enemies.
Slow but not idle are the minds of these brutes. An ambush awaits.
Before anything more could be said, Avaran ghosted past, a drift of grey mist lit by the ruddy lanterns of the sky cruiser's interior. This fog ray slipped soundlessly up the stairs. Unseen, the master mime fell upon her foes. Actinic flare flickered from the Harlequin's gauntlet, greeted by the orange fire of orc pistols discharging mindlessly at their spectral attacker.
Our cue. Let us not be lax.
The great Harlequin found himself in a broad command bridge, surrounded by banks of arcane dials and gauges, linked by coils of crackling wire and brass piping. Three orcs in heavy suits of powered armor swung ponderous crackling claws at the after shimmer of Avaran's wake, their black and red plates sparking with discharge from her Harlequin's caress. A greenish glow of a power field enveloped each, warding away the mastermind's deadly touch. The front wall of the command area was dominated by a massive plate of thick glass, through which could be seen the mounting levels of the orc town piled upon the gorge walls. Adroniel was at Deruthiel's shoulder a moment later. A shuriken cannon spat a stream of lethal discs into the backs of the orcs manning the bank of controls beneath the immense main canopy. The dead pilots slumped across their controls amidst the crackle and spark of shattered meters and cracked screens. The sky cruiser lurched violently, catching all unawares. The Harlequins acrobatically kept their footing while orcs tumbled and fell about them, armor and weapons clattering. Controls broken, the sky cruiser pitched sharply groundwards, while flames erupted across the panels and sparks flew from overloading circuitry. The wide canopy filled with the blazing lights of the town lamps and fires. Anti-aircraft shells flared closer as the gunners on the surface turned their cannons upon the plunging gunship.
The deed is done. The act has run its course. time for us to depart the stage.
Such was easier said than done, as the armored orcs, presumably the cruiser's commander and lieutenants, regained their feet and stomped towards the Harlequins, cutting off their route back to the steps. The orcs' ungainly energy weapons buzzed, and fuel cells burned with an unhealthy yellow glow. The gleaming muzzles of their guns swung toward the defeating fractured chase of the Harlequins.
It seems an unexpected encore is upon us, yet time still for improvisation.
The great Harlequin's hand flew out. A cluster of miniature charges flew from his grasp. Each no larger than a coin, they exploded into arcs of coruscating power around the trio of heavily armed beasts and forked plumes of purple and white energy. The haywire field billowed about the orcs like a storm cloud. Electromagnetic discharge leapt from the powered systems of their armor to nearby consoles and machinery. Shuddering and thrashing, the greenskins were hapless as Dorothiel leapt away, heading for an open hatch that led to a clear night sky beyond. His swift steps brought him out onto the roof of the main gun deck, heavily riveted and pitched at a steep angle by the cruiser's dive. Glancing over his shoulder, he saw his companions close at hand, a cascade of colors against the dull metal of the hull. Past them, he saw the buildings of the orc settlement on the gorge walls, so close that he could discern individual windows. On the roofs and balconies, greenskins were looking up, some firing at the crashing sky cruiser and the weaving blurs of the other Harlequin craft around it.
A steed! A steed! All that is mine is yours for a steed!
They ran up the incline, using weld ridges and protruding rivets for footholds, heading towards the fitful glare of the engines at the stern.
Offer accepted, great Harlequin!
Illuminated by the glare of the jets, and Doriath Starweaver veered between the plumes of flickering fire, raking sideways along the fuselage. One by one, the Harlequins leapt aboard, Dorothiel the last. He stopped before jumping, and turned to see the orc commander at the door to the bridge. Flecks of haywire discharge still fountained from its armor. Brutish eyes glared with unquenched rage. Dorothiel switched off his defeating suit so that the orc could clearly see him. He tipped a cocky wave, raising the hilt of his sword to his brow in mock salute, and leapt aboard the Starweaver as it slid past. The anti-grav craft lifted sharply, almost throwing him to the floor of the transport platform. The sky cruiser seemed to drop away. A few heartbeats later, the huge gunship plunged into the upper levels of the gorge town. Fuel tanks detonated on impact, ammunition stores exploding shortly after. A meteor of flame and metal carved a ruinous swathe through the orc settlement, leaving a broad, fire-wreathed scar in its wake.
An inconvenience strikes us. I had hoped to enter directly upon the fortress of the Warlord, but see how the crash of the skyship and the intensity of the orc's fire makes that impossible. We shall have to alight as close as possible and fight on foot.
Fight through the streets of the orc town? To attack the citadel at the summit? You have taken leave of your final shred of sense, Red Swan. We shall all be dashed against the walls like waves on an unforgiving shore.
Upon Lightfoot, the laughing god leaps from melody to melody, ever changing his path, but always heading in the same direction.
Exactly as Echo tells it! We shall not fight on the streets, but from the roofs. These clambering fools shall not catch us if we are fleet of foot and daring of thought.
Avaran caught their attention and swiftly gestured for a few moments, motioning toward the looming orc citadel several times as she did so.
As I said, did I not?
We need not go through the walls if we go over them. A feather on the breeze, we shall be carried to victory if we do not burden ourselves with unnecessary concern.
At the great Harlequin signal, the flotilla descended to roof level, scouring the gently sloping rooftops and open terraces with their heavy weapons, before they deposited the tragedy and other troops of the fading dawn. The buildings were closely arranged, the alleyways between, no obstacle to the acrobatic harlequins, their natural grace aided by the anti-gravitic effect of their flip belts. In places, cable bridges and planks had been left as crossing points, and the mask sped across the rooftops more swiftly than the orcs could muster to confront them, though in their wake, a growing mass of alien brutes and smaller creatures boiled through the streets, intent upon their slaughter. Above them, star weavers, sky weavers, and void weavers dodged the raking fire of the remaining orc interceptors to make attack runs against the pursuing mobs. The strafing of the orc aircraft frequently missed its targets, stitching bloody wounds through the surging hordes on the ground, while harlequin craft darted to and fro above the orc masses.
It is quite a crowd that attends our key performance, but they are to be disappointed. The last act shall be finished before they arrive on the scene.
The wind shifts, bringing fresh scent for the hunters.
The Shadow Seer swept a hand out to the right. Bejeweled bands about his wrist gleamed in the dazzle of his hollow suit. The Ruthiel read his intent, seeing a ramshackle cluster of buildings that ran up the wall of the fortress itself.
These ignorant savages build a castle and then leave a ladder against its wall. We shall avail ourselves of the oversight.
And once inside this lair, what then?
We find its king and take the crown, head and all.
While his court sit and clap in admiration, no doubt.
Feel free to play with the princes and princesses while I do the deed. I would not like to think of you bored and idle while I entertain their ruler.
Hurrying through the light and shadows, Dorothiel and his mask came to the teetering conglomeration Averin had seen. To the great Harlequin's surprise, the ramshackle building was not guarded.
I presume the sentries tired of their onerous duty when there was battle to be joined.
As the Harlequins entered on foot, the anti-grav craft of the mask slid away across the town, luring the vengeful mob on a false chase into the depths of the gorge. Inside was pitch black, lit only by the ghost gleam of their hollow suits. After a plain entrance hall, they came out into the starlight again, a small rectangle of pinpricks in the velvet night above, bounded on three sides by the silhouette of the buildings, and on the fourth by the jagged rampart of the citadel wall. In the faint illumination, they saw rows and rows of barred openings in the walls. Above, floor after floor of cells mounted up through ramshackle scaffolding, ladders and precarious stairs, until the view faded into the distance.
A prison. Cast-offs from the warlord's favor, perhaps, kept close at hand for easy gloating.
Children of the Emperor, forsaken against their faith, bound into terror unto death, and death a release longed for. A clamor of torment lies in its place, a torture of souls in pain. Slaves.
Of no concern to us, Red Swan. We ascend to your destiny, remember.
The troops split across the gantries and narrow walkways, ascending with light steps to the levels above. They crossed swaying rope bridges and creaking beams with all the ease of level, flat ground.
Blood of Cain, the captives are waking. They will draw the orcs, I am sure. We must not be caught here. Speed on!
Dorothiel stopped, however, as pale-skinned hands thrust between the bars. Fingernails broken to the quick, knuckles bulging like skeletal digits. In the gloom of the cells, he saw sunken faces, contorted and drowsy, long hair lank from scalp and chin. Some of the slaves shuffled even closer, blinking and squinting. The gleam of defeated suits revealed swollen, malnourished guts and emaciated limbs. The great Harlequin stepped away with a shudder, cast his gaze to the battlement above. With a nod, he signaled for the tragedy to move on, following the troops that had continued ahead.
This clamor shall wake all foes to our progress.
Then waste no time with pointless words and make more haste.
From the lamenting of the disfavored comes the darkness. The great powers sup on the nightmares, waxing strong as they drain hope from the misbegotten and unremembered.
What point in releasing them? They are too starved to fight. The orcs will slay them out of hand.
Dorothiel hesitated at the next ladder. His eyes lingered on a human male pressed close to the bars. The man's ribs showed through paper-thin skin. His eyes were sunken and devoid of any understanding deeper than a farm beast's. From a turret above, a single cannon barked, sending a shell down into the mess of gantries and struts. Whether the orc suspected the intrusion of the Harlequins or simply wished to silence the noise of the slaves was impossible to tell. Another muzzle flash warned of a second turret turned upon the haphazard maze of cell blocks and walkways. Adroniel leapt past Eruthiel, using a rough wall to bound up to a scaffold bank above, flipping herself onto the upper level with one hand.
No time to lose, Dorothiel. The foe has murderous intent for this place.
Dorothiel pulled himself up two rungs, but hesitated still, looking down into the fire that had started on the lower levels. The smell of charred flesh wafted up towards him as the open space acted as a huge chimney.
It is simply monkey killing monkey. It is what they always do. This is no place for the laughing god. It is a death trap.
In alliance, even the unspeaking beast can carry its burden. What strength is shown to sacrifice the weak, save to bolster the grandeur of the benighted gods of the war?
Our corpses would lie beside theirs. Better that the enemy remain distracted.
The great Harlequin dropped back to the platform at the base of the ladder, drawing his sword.
Kegarak's mercy. I cannot allow it. Does not the laughing god dare the grasp of she who thirsts to snatch up our fleeing souls, even as her grip closes?
Dorothiel's sword sang as he lashed out, cutting the crude lock from the nearest cell door.
Make swift work! A thumb to the eye for the great enemy. Let not desperate prayers rise to the ears of the dark powers, but have them answered by a folk more kind to look upon, and more gallant of act.
Oh, fool, you doom us!
Dorothiel ignored her and sprinted along the scaffold, sword flicking out, to sever half a dozen more locks. The humans staggered out of their cells, unsure what to do. They tried to crowd toward the vague dancing zephyrs that released them from their bondage, but the Harlequins moved swiftly, leaping, running from their lunging grasps, spinning and ducking away from grateful embraces. The orcs fired again. The plume of the shell's detonations engulfed the opposite side of the prison, turning several cells to fire and rubble. The Ruffial suppressed a cry of dismay and used the crisscross of piping and a loop of cable to swing up to the floor above, where his sword cut more locks. The scaffold thrummed with padding feet as dozens of humans poured out of their cages, shouting in their crude tongue, kissing and hugging each other. Levering away timbers and poles, the freed prisoners set about their shackles and the doors of other cells. The breakout spread like a fire from one level to the next across the broad quadrangle of stacked enclosures. Soon, hundreds were free, pouring down and into the gate hall, and from there into the street beyond to cause havoc among the stony sprawl that had been raised by their labor and tears, built on the graves of their families. Dorothiel climbed quickly, leaving the humans to complete the task he had begun. He caught up with Adroniel, who waited at the summit of the jail, in the shadow of the citadel wall itself, beneath the angle of the firing guns. A few troopers below were less fortunate. The next salvo crashed into a gantry where they still worked to free the slaves, incinerating three of Dorothiel's followers, sending two more tumbling to a messy end far below.
Happier now? Shall I name those that gave their lives for these animals?
They confound the orcs and distract from our presence.
Circumstance, such was not your intent.
Reward for a good deed, I would like to think. Unwitting, but they repay their debt.
Echo appeared out of the smoke and gloom. The telltale flicker of more hollow fields scaled the ladders and stairs behind him. The Shadow Seer gestured toward the rampart, not far above their heads.
The king stirs.
Time to make royal greeting.
The Mask of the Fading Dawn awaited the word of their leader. They were gathered about the citadel wall, eyes cast up to the great turrets above that continued to lay down fire upon the prison and surrounding buildings. From this vantage point, It was clear to see the spreading wave of humanity casting out from the jail into the settlement, burning and wreaking havoc in its passage through the workshops where the slaves had been forced to labor beneath whip and gun.
Can I go forward when my heart is here? A king awaits appointment, or I shall be a disappointment.
All that lies within is more death, but that is no cause to turn about. If you think to enter the lair of this monster, you will fail. In close corridors and dank chambers, we shall be cornered like scuttle rats and exterminated like such vermin.
You worry over much for one that plays the part of the last ending death jester. But on this, you are right. It is nonsense to throw ourselves into the gullet of the beast to pierce its heart. And I reckon the solution to draw the monstrous king out of his throne room and onto my waiting blade!
With no further explanation, Doruphiel leapt to the wall. The uneven stones, crude stanchions, and armored plates provided more than enough handholds for the great Harlequin and his mask to ascend. Like a ripple of light reflected from a dark mirror, the troops slipped silently up the wall. Gaining the summit, Doruphiel looked around. The wall enclosed a roughly semicircular expanse, flattened and built from the rock face of the gorge. On the far side of this courtyard was a keep, dug into and built from the naked stone. Outbuildings of various purpose, discernible and unknown, clustered around beast pens and storage vats, built along ramps leading to the walls and on the edge of gateways and shafts sunken into the gorge. Sputtering lamps lit the flat ground, but much was in shadow. A surge of orc warriors piled forth from guardhouses and watchtowers to man the defenses around the main wall, moving out through the gate to confront the marauding humans, taking them away from the Harlequins.
Exeunt! Silence these nagging guns and find what sport you can among the loitering guards. All that you slay, cast their bodies into the courtyard yonder to be seen by their absent king.
Dispatched by his word, the troops moved swiftly along the stone and metal rampart, falling upon the two flanking gun towers. The glitter of hollow suits faded into the night as they moved further on. Doruphiel located open stairs leading down to a ledge that ran around this portion of the wall, lined with crates and other stores. From there, he bounded to the roof of a work shack. The anti-gravity lift of his flip belt allowed him to land soundlessly on the corrugated metal roof. The rest of the tragedy followed him down to the ground, where he remained for a moment in the shadow of a large oil tank, regaining his bearings. His gaze roamed the carelessly piled barrels and boxes close at hand.
If one is to draw forth this loathsome king from his throne hall, as one might remove the sting from the blister, how should we do it? Set alight his hall? Slay his courtiers?
If the warlord has not yet come forth with the mayhem that engulfs his settlement, I think he cares nothing for property or follower.
Truth. And if the king had issued forth with his army, we would be poorly placed, I fear, to confront him. I would prefer my foe not ringed about with a legion of retainers.
So, how do we separate the warlord from this mass?
How indeed? Put yourself in the mind of our foe.
Wait a moment while I beg Echo to turn his neurodisruptor upon my head, that I might sink to the level of this orcish brute's force.
Indeed! We must sink to the depths of low imagination and intellect. What thing might I prize above all others were I this unthinking monster?
As you have already decided you know the truth, spare us this overture and answer your own question as you so clearly long.
Reputation.
You think to shame it?
I think to raise a challenge it must answer, or sacrifice all authority and leadership.
I hope you have been practicing your orcish insults in that case.
Better still, to make offense that crosses boundaries of language and culture.
Were another to say so, I might have doubt. But you, Doruphiel, are certainly an irritant that crosses boundaries of language and culture. I consider you a close companion, friend even, and I can barely contain the urge to strike you after a dozen heartbeats in your presence.
Never let it be said that the Red Swan does not understand his own unique talents.
Doruphiel stepped out of the shadow of the cabin and waved for the tragedy to follow. In the dim light, his Dathidi suit swathed him with a luster of twilight purple and the flutter gleam of fire.
The stage is not yet ready. The props and set must be perfect. Set it afire! All of it!
Turning his fusion pistol upon the scattered barrels, Dorothiel opened fire. The fuel dump ignited in a heartbeat. The detonation of the first barrel set off others, sending metal and flame soaring into the sky. The hot wind of the explosion washed over the Harlequins. Crests and ribbons fluttered. Hollow suits crackled between light and darkness as they attempted to compensate for the sudden brightness. The troops of the fading dawn had not been idle. Orc bodies lay piled against the foot of the wall. Mobs of green-skinned beasts pounded to and fro, chasing after the darting glimmers of Dathidi suits, leading a merry chase around the ramparts and compound. Taking lead from their great Harlequin, the Mask turned their attention on stores and buildings, transforming corpse mounds to pyres and outbuildings to bonfires. Generators exploded into sparking fountains. The crackle of haywire grenades leapt across transformers and coils of flashing cable. Pylons were toppled and water tanks overturned, catching crowds of pursuing orcs in electrified pools.
The whisper speaks louder than the shout if the correct words are spoken.
We make sport of its warriors and bring ruin to its citadel, but there is still no sign of this alien king.
Your indulgence a moment more.
The great Harlequin left the comparative shelter of the clustered buildings, moving quickly into the open ground before the gatehouse of the central fortress. He stopped. One moment, a blur of color. The next, the chameleonic nature of his hollow suit blended with the night shadows.
Monster King, where are you? Your house is burning down. Monster King, won't you play? The Red Swan wants your crown.
The great Harlequin shut off his hollow suit, revealing himself in the glare of the spreading fires. He stood on the toes of one foot and slowly pirouetted, curling streamers and crest about himself. With equal precision and grace, he turned a slow cartwheel and another, and then performed a perfect handstand. Several orcs converged out of the darkness, broad blades in their massive fists, intent upon the great Harlequin.
Stay your hands! The Red Swan shall entertain these boorish critics.
The beasts raised heavy pistols, turning their aim on Dorothiel. Performing a handspring, he activated his suit and disappeared into a sliding melange of blue and white. The glare of muzzle flash lit the space where Dorothiel had been moments before. The blur of bullets cut through the mist of his passing, whining harmlessly away into the night. A swirl of red and blue engulfed the first orc, an instant before blood fountained from its chest, and its arm seemed to whirl away of its own accord, arterial spray coating the hard floor. As the three others turned sluggishly towards their attacker, Dorothiel struck again. A blaze of white and green leapt over the nearest, a flash of a blade leaving a neat cut from chin to scalp. As the great Harlequin landed, the orc's head split apart like a sliced fruit. Ducking beneath an axe, Dorothiel slashed his blade through the legs of his next foe, removing the feet as he spun. The orc staggered away on bloody ankle stumps, not sure what had happened, before it fell face first into the dirt. The last fired wildly at the prismatic apparition that had slain its companions. Metal slugs punched into the flesh of the footless orc and ricocheted from its armor plates. The image of Dorothiel coalesced behind the firing orc, standing nonchalantly with arms crossed, one leg cocked as though leaning against a wall. His blade protruded from the back of the orc's neck, whipped free as the brute's corpse toppled forward.
Success! What light through yonder gateway breaks? It is the void, and my king a son.
The portal of the central keep opened outwards, spilling harsh white light across the open ground.
Someone's looking for some dagger, and I'm gonna give it to him.
The creature that emerged was near twice as tall as Dorothiel and several times as broad. In one hand, It carried an axe as tall as the Great Harlequin, its edge lined with a spinning band of serrated teeth that gleamed with a power field. In the other, a gun of equal size, sporting three barrels joined by a profusion of pipes and wires to a gleaming power cell.
So big! 'Tis fortunate that its stench masks that now residing in my breeches.
Behind the warlord came its retinue, half a dozen orcs of near equal proportion, armored in overlapping plates, and carrying an assortment of cruel-looking blades and firearms.
What a pretty sight you are, beautiful king! Spare me your blushes. There is not a better head on which a crowd might sit, but I have ruined it.
Durathiel left aside, activating his Dathidi suit to become a streak of flaring color, somersaulting from the path of the bullets and energy blasts that erupted in his direction. The gunfire followed him as he sprinted for the cover of the orc hovels where the rest of the tragedy sheltered.
Is your brain impaired? Go the other way!
The Great Harlequin realized he was drawing the storm of gunfire towards his companions and cut left, diving low so that the bullets screamed over his head. He rolled to his feet and sprinted away from the others, darting them a glare at their lack of gunfire.
Are you waiting upon written invitation?
His hollow field became a blur of white against a burning fuel tank, the scream of the orc's tracers just a few strides behind.
I thought perhaps you desired to face the king alone.
What nonsense is this?
Is it not fate that guides you today? Would you not tread in the footsteps of Kegorach and gloat upon the demise of a foe at your own hands?
Durathiel found sanctuary behind a low wall of metal and stone that housed a large pumping mechanism. Blasts and bullets slammed into the scant cover, turning metal to slag, sending deadly splinters of stone whirring past his head.
I said nothing of the kind, spite-tongued death jester. Would it please you to see my remains scattered about this foul castle?
I am at a loss to know why I should risk death in this cause, though I do not desire yours. What import is the demise of this warlord?
What import? Is not my life a prize worth saving?
If your life were so valuable, what brings us here to risk it in the first instance? Did you think to simply drop in and slay this monster without pause?
I had hoped for an easier script, I confess. Your assistance in sealing the matter would be kindness itself.
And yet I am disinclined to give it, without knowing the purpose beyond the extension of your tenuous existence.
The pump and its enclosure gave up the final fight, reduced to spinning remnants by the battering fusillade of the warlord and its guards. The torrent of fire had masked their continuing approach, and as Durathiel sped towards fresh cover, he saw that they were no more than a dozen strides away. He fired a shot on the run, aiming for the warlord. The blast from his fusion pistol struck it high in the shoulder, turning armor plate to scattered droplets. The warlord staggered back a step, waving on its companions with its blade as it flexed the injured shoulder. Durathiel used his speed as the surest defense, his silhouette a kaleidoscopic cloud of splinters as he sprinted around the incoming orcs.
While this cheering banter is a playful joy, the singing of your shuriken cannon would be an even greater light to my ears.
And to mine, your reason for bringing us here. What thread of the fate scheme do we twang with this assassination? What right do we wrong?
None. No greater cause, no twisting of fates or striking a blow against the great enemy.
Then what?
Durathiel had the orcs between him and the rest of the tragedy. He stopped for just long enough to fire another shot. The blast vaporized the chest of an orc, sending it stumbling back into another behind. He started running again, then doubled back towards the injured warlord.
It was the barbed words of Elilinath's scream spear, that devil from the mask of the Reaper's Mirth. She insulted my leadership, impugned the skill and bravery of the fading dawn.
By wicked turns, the shadow of death falls upon all. A shining lure for the amusement of the Reaper, bitten upon with vehemence until the trap is sprung.
Elilinath Screamspear laughs at you even now, Red Swan. A trickster tricked, and our deaths a merriment to her. What ego to risk all for the salving of that slight wound.
Durathiel's blade shone like a splinter of ice in his hand. bounding left and right, he dodged between the bursts of fire from the orc bodyguards, intent upon the warlord.
Not slight this wound. A stroke was laid upon all. Our courage and dedication to Kegarath called weak. This challenge I set myself on oath to prove to the Reefer's Mirth and all others that the fading dawn are no less a mask than day.
From night rises sun, and all bathe in its glory.
Exactly.
The orc warlord took three lumbering steps, ponderous but implacable, turning towards the incoming harlequin. Dorothiel fired his fusion pistol again. Armor and flesh melted in the blast of intense radiation, fusing against greenskin ribs to the molten remnants of the warlord's breastplate.
The honor of all is at stake, you attest.
Yes. What Echo said.
Then you should have made clear at the outset that such was the wager.
The warlord raised its gun awkwardly. There was no choice but to commit and hope that the tragedy played their supporting roles. The warlord opened fire and Uruk-hul leapt. His flip belt propelled him higher even than the giant orc over the stream of purple bolts coursing from its weapon.
As I contested to you earlier, I ascend above others, even if I should later crash. It is my gift.
As he descended, sword held before him, the great harlequin saw the blur of the others bursting from cover.
You are a fool twice over, Dorothiel, but you are our great harlequin. I would have no other leader.
He watched for a moment the bone-clad figure of Adroniel, her shuriken cannon leveled at the orc bodyguards. A hail of slashing discs whined through the brutes, cutting into armor and green flesh. Where they struck bone and muscle, the virulent bioagents impregnated within the ammunition blossomed into energetic life. Toxins and stimulants flooded through the Death Jester's victims, racing through raging blood vessels to their vital organs.
Gonna cleave you between your pointy ears, laughing boy!
My poor ears! Even the humans would be appalled to hear such mutilation of their tongue.
The Ruffial landed atop the warlord. Its broad shoulders were large enough to carry the great harlequin as he plunged his blade into the side of its neck. Beset by the poison within Adroniel's shurikens, the bodyguard stumbled and staggered. Arteries exploded and lungs frothed, jetting forth bloody bubbles from the orc's fanged maws. Jerking as the neurotoxin spread across synaptic links and nerve endings, the beasts flailed to the ground, veins like cords within their thick skin, eyes, noses, and ears flooded with thick blood. Dorothiel somersaulted clear as the warlord flicked up its serrated blade, narrowly avoiding the spinning shards of its teeth. He landed behind and rolled again as it staggered back, almost crushing him.
You're hit like a grot, you dancing little freak. One touch from Gutslicer here, and you'll be ready for me pot.
An invitation I am loathed to reject, but my social plans are currently in flux.
It turned, leering down, blood streaming from the wound in its throat. The axe swung again, and Uruthiel bent backwards. The growling blaze parted the air where he had been an instant earlier.
If I offered insult, I apologize. I had no idea your species was so sensitive to my unkind comments. And destroying your air cruiser was more of an accident than intention. Perhaps some form of bouquet and some poetry of my own devising will make amends. But I must make one last cutting remark!
Wheeling to his feet, the great harlequin jumped again, spinning in midair. The blade caught deep this time, its field-gleaming edge parted rope-like tendons and windpipe, carving the head of the warlord. The other harlequins fell upon the surviving guards as Dorothiel landed softly, the severed head at his feet. The warlord's headless corpse swayed first one way and then the other, until it toppled backwards, a spume of crimson glittering in the sparkle of Dorothiel's hollow field. The harlequin's caress and powered blades made short work of the remaining lieutenants, a whirl of flashing brightness that left the orc scattered about the ground like their ruler. Dorothiel holstered his pistol and took up the warlord's head by its topknot. With a bow, he held it aloft, grinning inside his mask.
A gift for the Reaper's Mirth!
One I shall be happy to help you deliver, for I would have strong words with Elilinath Screamspear.
Heavy upon her ears shall they fall, I hope. We should be away. The town is roused against us, and the ire of our hosts grows stronger. The turrets are silenced. Let us call down our steeds to speed our return to the Last Laugh.
Called together by their great Harlequin, the troops and craft of the Fading Dawn assembled in the ruins of the courtyard, leaping upon the Star Weavers while Skyweaver jetbikes and Void Weavers darted back and forth, their weapons cutting down any group of orcs foolhardy enough to mount a counterattack. Lifting away from the scene of his victory, Dorothiel looked down and saw the devastation that had befallen the orc settlement. The burning gouge of the sky cruiser was open wound upon the town. Hundreds of slaves still poured through the streets, now armed with weapons taken from their former captors.
Does the heart good to see the caged run free, whatever the uncertainties of fate that awaits them? Aye, not all was vanity today.
Audible hopes you've enjoyed this program.